But I've had people come and say to me, "Oh, I'm going to do video courses." And I'm sitting there going, "Do you know how to video?" "No." "Have you got the equipment to do it?" "No, but I'm going to pay this video." And they've got this videographer lined up to pay like all this money to them. And I'm sitting there going, "Why are you doing that? Why are you picking up a skill that you don't need when you've already got the skill that you need to do the thing that you need to do? Why don't you just focus in on that instead of picking up something else that you don't know if you're going to be any good at?"
Welcome to the Hands On Business Podcast. Where else are you going to come to get tips, tricks, and advice on growing your business? As you know, what people tend to love about this podcast is that it is a place where you can hear real business leaders discussing systems, methodologies, and strategies that they have used to help them catapult growth in their business. So I'm your podcast host, Hakeem Adebiyi, and I've grown several small businesses to multi-million pound enterprises and noticed that there wasn't really a place that focused on where I was, i.e. growing a small business. All of the content that seemed to be out there was about big business and often just a lot of theory and no practical implementable advice, which is exactly why I set up this podcast. So take a listen, enjoy, and start implementing the strategies that you hear on the podcast. Happy listening. Business planning. Does anyone like it? Now, I'm one of those, sadly, that actually does. Why? Because I like being successful. And the way I see it, then a business plan is effectively a map of how you get from here, where you are currently, to there. And since I always want to get there, then I need a business plan. However, I do understand that it's not everyone's favorite thing, probably because there aren't really that many simple, practical frameworks out there. And that doesn't just go for business plan and business planning, really, I don't think. So to help me have a look at how we can make the whole planning process simpler and more practical, I'm joined by Athol Forbes, who is a business coach, an entrepreneur, a co-founder of LinkedIn networking group called Linked Online, and also a part-time radio host, just to name but a few things. But most importantly for today's session, she's also just launched her program about business basics mastery. So today, we're going to be talking and going through seven simple steps to supercharge your business. So welcome, Athol.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you. I'm glad you could join us this morning.
You're so right. People hate doing business planning, but what I found when I teach people how to do it, something magical happens, right? So they come in going, "Oh God, I've got to do my business plan." They're like, you know, like the stroppy teenager dragging their finger, "Oh, do I have to do it?" But by the end of it, they're all excited about their business and they want to go away and do stuff. So it goes from being something painful that they don't want to do to being something really motivating and inspiring, because by the end of it, if I do it two ways. Either I give them a video and they go away and do it themselves, or I give them the video and then I come and coach them on the back of it. And when I coach on the back of it, what we do is we have 5 years of goals finished by the end of the session, and we've got a workable plan that we can go away and do stuff. And the reason that is module three of what I do is because I was the same as other business owners. So I had about four or five business plans written on Word, never used for anything. Look back at them now and I think, what on earth was I thinking? None of this is relevant. I haven't done any of this stuff, because I'd just gone and written it because I'd been told to write it and just put it somewhere and never actually used it. And that then makes business planning a complete waste of your time. You need to be having something actionable and workable that you can be looking to go, you know, for example, we just hit the end of January, that you're going to get to January and have a look at your business plan. How much of that you'd plan for January did you actually execute? So that's why I train people how to do it, because they struggle and they don't do it in the right format and then it's not workable. So the great thing about when I teach it to people is because we do 5 years, we do five, we get a good plan kind of together for one. So hopefully by the time you get to December and you go to business plan again, you've got your goals for next year and you're just adding on year five's goals. So it's like it's set up for you to be successful and win. So that's why I've done it that way. And the reason that I've done it is I'm no different to everyone else. I have made loads of mistakes in my business. And that's the reason that I set up Business Basics Mastery, because I want to save other people from the pain that I went through in my business. And the thing is, I thought it was just my pain, but because I speak to quite a lot of people, I realised that this is the pain that all business owners have. So I call it the business owner's journey. So we start our businesses going, yay, this is amazing, we're going to change the world, we're going to do loads of stuff, and then we start doing it, and then we're like oh no, I need a website, I don't know how to do that. Oh no, I need to do a business plan, I don't know how to do that either. And every single job that you come to you're not skilled for, you have to go and find somebody to show you how to do it. And then very, very quickly, you start getting tired because everything you're learning is something new. And before very long, if you haven't put the foundations in properly, you get exhausted and then you get fed up of your business. And that's the point that people usually give up. So the reason that I created the course is just to give people the basic parts of it that you need, because I know when I went to look to do things for my business, quite often I would get subject matter experts who would give me a wall of information, but they didn't seem to realize I didn't need all that. I just needed what I needed to be able to do the job that I needed to do, because I had a business to run. I didn't want to be a sales expert or a marketing expert or a website expert, you know, or a business planning expert. I just needed what I needed to be able to go and do the job that I needed to do. And that's why when I've done all of these things, I've stripped it right back to make it really simple for people. Because the other thing I think that sometimes gets missed is we're all individuals and we learn differently. And I think it's far more powerful to give someone a basic structure and let them flex it and fit it in with their life and their business and them, you know, and then they'll actually do it. If you give them something big, unwieldy, you must follow this exact process, people take it away, they're totally overwhelmed, they don't go and do it, and then it's a complete waste of everybody's time going and upskilling in the first place, because you're not using what you learned. So what the most powerful things that have come out of when I've worked with people is when I've given them, you know, like a tiny little tool, and they've gone away and made it work for them. I remember I showed one client time blocking, and it had like three simple elements to it, so he could work out where he was spending his time. Back a week later with this monster spreadsheet and about 20 different categories, and like he got really into analyzing where his business time was going, and I was a bit like, whoa, this has turned into a monster from a little kind of tool. But the thing is, it worked for him. So like, and that's the purpose of it. If somebody takes what you give them and they make it work for them, actually, that's much better than giving something so prescriptive that they can't follow.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we're going to get into those seven elements. So we're going to get into that in a second. So just talk to me before we start diving deeply into that, how you went from in the offshore gas and oil industry and then you're now a coach, an entrepreneur, you're running multiple businesses. How did that all come about?
So I live in, as you know, with my funny accent, I live in Aberdeenshire. I'm a farmer's wife. And predominantly for years, the main industry here has been oil and gas. So pretty much everybody up here either is in it or has somebody that is involved in it. So it's no big surprise that I ended up in the oil and gas industry. I just started off as admin, and then I went to quite a major oil company that most people will know the name of. And when I was there, because it was a big multinational organization, I could have ended up doing anything. So it was a great place to go and have an admin job because the scope for I could have gone into HR. What I did choose to do was go into operations. And what you'll find with a lot of coaches, they usually have an HR background. I don't have an HR background, I have an operational background. So then what happened was I went offshore on an FPSO, but most people don't know what an FPSO is. So it's like an oil rig, but it's just a big boat. And the reason that it's a boat is because we were west of Shetland in the Atlantic and we got absolutely hammered with the weather. So an oil rig wouldn't have been able to withstand the weather conditions. Luckily, because I'm originally from Orkney, I've got quite good sea legs, so it didn't bother me too much. Yeah, so I worked there, then I was the tech assistant. So basically, I did everything from managing KPIs to helping the guys when they were doing permits to work to I did the flights on and off the chop. I did the flights on and off the installation. I helped the planner with planning. So it was a really good job where I got to do lots of things. But also, the thing that I think it gave me when I was doing that job was that there was nothing that I couldn't get round. So when you work offshore, you're working Saturdays, Sundays, up until 7 o'clock at night. You don't have IT support that you can phone and ask for help. You have to. So I was like underneath desks, wiring stuff, like I was doing everything. And from that experience, I learned that, there's always a way around everything. You just sometimes have to stand back and think about, right, how am I going to execute this? Like I remember one example in particular, we ran out of food because we couldn't get a boat in to get the supplies off the boat to feed everybody. And they were coming to me going, right, oh, we're going to have to down man. And I was like, what? We're going to have to down man. And I said, are you joking? Look at that window. And they were like, yeah. I said, that's a rig. So they've been able to get their supply boat in. Why don't we just get food from them? We can get a chopper in, but we can't get a boat in. But why don't we get enough food to keep us going until we can get the boat in? And they're like, oh, never thought about that. I said, all we would have to do is drop our passengers over at that side, pick up the food on the flight tomorrow, take it over to us, drop it off because payload, there's weight ranges on the helicopter. Drop off the food, go back, pick up our guys and go into the beach. So, and then we would have enough to do this for a couple of days until the weather comes down. They're like, yeah, can we do that? And I said, yeah, I'll go down to the camp boss and get a list of all the food. And then I'll phone the camp boss across and tell them what we need basically to keep us going. So it was things like that where you have to think on the spot about what you're doing, that really, really helped me and helped me on my business journey too. So I did that and then I came back on shore. There was quite a big accident happened called the Miller accident. And all of those people in that chopper got killed, but we were the other chopper in the air that day. So after that happened, they decided to take my position on shore. And then what happened was I got stolen by bosses. So I got stolen from the OIM to the engineering manager, and then I got stolen from him to his boss, who was the AOM. And then my AOM was a really good guy who's Dutch. He said, we can't, like, we need Athel because she knows everything. She's done offshore and onshore. And that's when I ended up in my performance coach role because I understood how both sides of the business worked. I'd actually worked offshore and seen how all of that worked, and I'd worked in the office too. So I understood how both of those. So then I got taken on as a one of those great titles that nobody ever understands what they mean. So I was a production efficiency improvement specialist. But basically, I was a performance coach. So, but I was one of the most unpopular coaches you could ever have because getting me put in your team was a big red flag to everybody else in the business that you weren't doing so well. So whenever I got put in, people really didn't like me to start off with, and I took it all really personally. But then I realised it wasn't actually to do with me. It was to do with, you know, shining a light on them and, it, you know, that they weren't doing so good. But I loved that job. So I did that, and then I went away and had a baby. And we had a big redundancy process going on. So I came back into a job that I didn't enjoy. I actually did a piece of work up that went up to CEO level. But 2 weeks after I'd spoken to the CEO about this piece of work, then I was made redundant. So I came away going, I've got something here I can actually access at that level. So then I decided to go and start my business. So that's where, and then very bad planning. I started my business and a month later I found out I was pregnant.
The best laid plans.
So that kind of stalled things for a little bit. But the good thing about being a business owner, I think, is that the thing that I love about it is you can change what you do to suit you. So I came out and I did coaching for a bit, and then the kids were little, so I went and I focused in on LinkedIn for a while. So I was just writing for people because it was easy for me to do. I could just speak to a client for a little bit and then I could write when they were having a nap or any. So I fitted it all around my life. So I'm pretty good at LinkedIn, which is useful if you're a business owner. And then I was writing and then I decided I didn't want to do it anymore. Started doing the linked online stuff because I'd done some training for Ian and he wanted to bring me into the business. And then I kind of had a epiphany, you know, at the end of last year where Huel, that I actually do the radio station with, he's like, Athol, you've got loads of training. Why are you not sharing that? Because that would be so useful to people. So I went and I pulled out all the training that I'd done over the time of my business. And when I pulled it all out, I was like, this is all the basic bits that people need to run their business. So it was that's how the journey happened.
So a very interesting journey. And actually, at the beginning, you think, well, where's the connection? But then the connection really is the amount of stuff that you've done over that period of time has actually led you really to have all those skills that bring you to this point where you're now launching this course. Yeah. So what I always like speaking to people, and you're exactly why I asked you to come on, is because I like people with experience who've actually done it. Because there are lots of coaches and different people who talk about it, but haven't actually done what they're asking people to do. So that's, to me, the real credibility gap. So I always try and get people on that. You can go away with actionable advice of what to do tomorrow if you listen to what's being said on the podcast. So let's jump into that then. So we're talking about 7 key elements that contribute to supercharging a business. So give me the highlights. What are those 7 key elements?
So the first step is get good on you. This is what I see people do wrong all the time. They don't think about what their wonderful skill set is, where they add value, and what they actually want. That's the first thing. So when people don't take the time to do that at the beginning, they end up heading off in the wrong direction and then getting pulled from pillar to post. Oh, I might do that. Oh, I might do this. But it's because they haven't focused in on what their value is. So that's why I would always say that that's the most important step to take the most amount of time at the beginning. And I kind of ask 3 questions. What are you good at? Not just good, amazing, better than anyone else. You probably have an idea of what that is yourself. But if you're not sure, go and do some feedback work. Because sometimes people will pick up things about you that you don't even realise about yourself. So, for example, Huel asked me to come and do the radio station. Have I ever been on radio? No. Do I know what I'm doing? No. But he saw something in me that he thought would be useful. So that's where you can get a bit of feedback from other people, and it's really helpful. So that's step one. Step two is creating your offer, but not any old offer, not for everybody. right? Create the offer with the things that you're amazing at, that you love delivering, and then work out who are the people that will benefit from that, this fantastic offer you've got. So in create your offer, I get people to have their niche, I get them to create their packages, and then I get them to create a value ladder. So I think people get these bits wrong. So they get their niche wrong, they don't create the right product. And on their value ladder, they focus on the one piece in the middle, but they don't think about what step, you know, step up from it. What are the two steps up from it? And what are the two steps down from it? And actually, when I do that with people, they're like, this is the bit that I had missing out of my business, because they just hadn't, they'd only thought about like just now. So that's really useful. Then business planning, the bit that everybody hates to do. Well, I don't hate to do it, but other people do. So with business planning, we just do the key pieces that you need. So your vision, your mission, your values, your goals. And then I do an action plan, a workable action plan with them that they can do during the year. And then we also set up some KPIs to keep them on track, but not a million KPIs, because I've seen that done wrongly as well. You know, 20 KPIs and none of them are actually, if you, I would say do no more than five, you know, less is best, because then you can actually really monitor the health of your business through your KPIs. Number four is social media strategy. So a lot of people think, oh, I'll chuck a post up on LinkedIn and my business will rocket. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
it doesn't work like that. So having a bit of a strategy around what you're going to do about your social media. I always say LinkedIn because that's the one that I use predominantly. But if you know your niche, which you've done in module two, you can then go and look at which social media platform is the right one for you. And then once you've worked out which platform or platforms you want to work on, go and find out how they work. So I give a rough of how they work, but, you know, go and get somebody who really, really knows how to use that platform. And then set up a schedule for how you're going to post, how you're going to engage, keeping in mind how much resource that you have as well. Because if you're not careful, as you'll well know, you can end up spending hours on, you know, social media and then not get any of your other stuff done. So, like, I think you need to be realistic about what your resource is. Number five is sales. Yeah, another thing that a lot of business owners absolutely hate doing. But because none of us have done sales, you know, usually to start off with. But the thing about sales that I think is so powerful is if you have the right process, it makes your sales easy. If you don't have a process, it makes your sales hard. And this is where the modules connect to each other. So the first step of your social media strategy is usually the first step of your sales pipeline. So if you've done your social media strategy, you've usually got step one of your sales process. Also, if you've done your niche in module two, you need that for your social media strategy and for your sales process too. So all these, and you know, your values also helps with your social media strategy. So it's all these little bits and how they tie together. So with sales, have a great process, work out how you're going to do it. And the thing about your sales process, tune and tune and tune and tune. It's not one and done. You don't go and stick it in and then a month later go, oh, I've got no customers coming through. No, you put it in and go, the wording needs to be changed on this. The amount of time between messages needs to be done here. I'm not doing enough follow-up. I'm not looking at how many I'm putting in at the top of my pipeline, to, you know, versus what's coming out at the end. So really the important thing is setting the sales process up for you, but monitoring it and tweaking it to make it work is really important. Number six is feedback. I show people how to do that well, because a lot of people are terrified of feedback. I was one of those people, and it wasn't because I thought I was rubbish and I was going to get a row for what it was, just like our brains are naturally more wired to respond to negative stimuli than positive stimuli. So But when you give a framework and tools to people on how to do something, then it's less scary and it's manageable. So that's why I train about doing feedback. And the last one is networking, how to do great networking. And what I would say with great networking is have a plan. And not every networking group fits you. Like, go and try some. You'll know the ones that are a good fit for you. You'll feel it. And you know, have a bit of a networking plan. You know, who are you going to try? When you go to put it in, think about how much hours a week is it going to take you? Can you fit it in with all the other things that you need to do? Are you actually putting effort into your networking? Just showing up to the meetings isn't enough. If you aren't doing one-to-ones and growing your network that way, like, it's just you turning up with random people, you know, so you need to make it work for you. So those are the seven elements that I teach on, and they're all kind of interlinked. But I think the important thing to say about the whole program is it's basic stuff. So it's the basics you need to be able to do the task that you need to do. So I'll give you that in the video, and you can just go and watch the video and do it. Or if you do the video and you think, I need a bit more help, then you would book in with me and we would do it together. So you get the two options of what you would like from it.
Okay, excellent. And I mean, and the key thing that's jumping out to me there, so it's about the planning and actually, as you said, basic. It's interesting because most people see basic as a bad term, whereas I think obviously you do because you've created a course with the term basic, and I see it as actually an advantage, because when you have something complex, and there's lots of business plans, there's lots of strategies, there's lots of processes that you can find that are very, very difficult to follow, and it therefore means that people don't actually follow it because it's so it just becomes very complex. And if you're running a business, you know, the business can be complex in and of itself anyway, because you've got so many things to do. You want something that's nice and simple. So in terms of that, because one of the things you were saying, right, step one was get good on you. You know, what are you amazing at? So in terms, if I ask you that question around your course, what's the significant difference between maybe your course and the way you're doing it, and then what you've seen elsewhere? Where did you see the gap was in the market?
What I see the gap in the market is it's too loose. Like, there's not a structure, and people don't know what they don't know. You need to give them at least a little bit of guidance to start. You know, what are you amazing at? Like, you know, when you're asking that question, it could be anything. So the value of doing it with someone else is they can guide you to that. You know, the one that is the kicker question that I always see is, what do you want? And I'm always amazed how many people have absolutely no idea what it is that they want. Yeah. And that's like having a car with no driver and expecting it to go somewhere. Like, if you haven't even thought about how much money you want to earn, or the people that you want to work with, or the type of work that you want to be doing, or where you want to be in a few years, or what your nirvana is. You know, what would be absolutely perfect for you? How can you possibly get there? And sometimes I think that you need somebody else to help you get that out. And what I generally find is, when I ask this, people give you the barrage of what they don't want. You know, I don't want to be in this job in 20 years. Like, I don't want to be skint. I don't, like, they'll tell you all the things they don't want. Right. So my job in that space is reversing it. So you say that you don't want to be in this job in 20 years, but what do you actually want? What is the reverse of that? You know, you say you don't want to be skint. So how much would you need to be earning a year for you to deem yourself not to be skint? You know, like, I don't want to be running my business the way that I'm running it just now. So what is that? Well, at the moment, I'm handing all of my life and my time over to the business, and I have no room for anything else. Right. OK, so the opposite of that is you're wanting some of your time back. So then we can get into what. But do you see how what I mean there? By saying what you actually want, then you start planning it. When you say what it wants,
Yes,
you
if,
sub like putting a subconscious order into the food delivery of I would like this. Your brain starts planning all of that stuff for you, and you start finding your own way to get to whatever that is that you've said that you want. But if you never look at it, you don't get there. And one of the most magical things I see people do is when we get into that conversation, and it's the same with the business planning too, they're starting to visualize where they're going. They start getting excited, and sometimes I get people to actually close their eyes and put themselves in the place that they say that they want, because it just, you can see it, they relax, they smile, because they're starting to move themselves towards that place that they've stated for themselves. Taking time at the beginning to do that and giving them a simple framework to do that, and then also offering the support, I think is really powerful. I think with what I've seen with other coaches, it's too loose. It's, there's no structure at all. And that might be okay for some people, but I know for me that that's not good. So I've built the program on what is good for me, but I know that I'm not unique. I know a lot of people that are the same as me, because when I've had the conversations, that's what they've said.
So the key is there about having a framework, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I think you're right that business owners and this coaching can take many different forms. But I think what yours seems to be a framework with coaching bolted around it, which
Yeah.
then gives people a very clear view of what they should be achieving, i.e., manifested from themselves, and then you're then helping them do that with those tools. So on that, and I know you have many, can you give me like a case study or an example of somebody who has started off and not really had a clue where to go with that?
Yeah, for example, I had a lady, this is 2 weeks ago actually. She's a VA, she'd been running her business for a while, it was going okay. And she came to me and said, I thought I need you to help me with my offer. So we sat down and we drilled it into about three packages, and those packages were based on what she was really good at and what she enjoyed doing. And people forget that enjoyment factor. See, if you enjoy something, you're generally good at it. If you hate something, you're not so good at it normally. So don't discount things that you enjoy doing, because you will add value to those things that you enjoy. So anyway, we got the three packages and we discussed what she was going to do. And then she came back a couple of days later and said, oh, I'm just now thinking, I met this other VA and she's doing this fix your stuff in 24 hours. And I'm just wondering if I should do a package like that. And I said, right, stop. You told me when we were doing your packages the other day that you like doing social media and that's where your, wheelhouse is. Why would you, and you hated doing all the admin-y stuff, why would you go and do a package on admin when you don't like doing it? She was like, you know what, you're right. So that was the first pushback. The next pushback was my basic package that she had. She said, oh, I've had a look and other people are doing it cheaper than me. And I said, yeah, but look what they're getting. And she said, yeah, but it looks like they're getting, they're giving the same amount as what I am. And I said, yeah, but look at that price. There's no skin in the game there. They're not going to go and do that. If you're buying a package and it's like 30 quid and you're getting all this stuff, how likely are you to go and do that stuff? Whereas if you are paying a bit more for it, you are more likely to actually go and do what you've paid for. I said, you can price that down if you want, but I don't think you'll get many sales with it. So now she's gone and do it, and that package is selling, which is great because that's them onto her value ladder, because they buy that package, they start doing it and go, oh my God, I actually need some help with this. And now they're scaling up with it. That's only within a couple of weeks. That's the power of getting it right. And having the path for your customer there, having the customer journey there that they can get more from you. And it's not about extracting money from them. It's about giving them what they need and offering them everything so they can choose. If they want a bit more from you, you have that available to them that you can give them it. So that's an example of it with creating your offer. And I think quite a lot of people don't get that right.
No, no, 100%. And I think that the pricing is always an interesting one, because people always think, oh, if I go cheap, then I'll get loads of people. I was having a conversation with someone who's about to launch a business at the moment, and it's, oh, well, I'm going to get them in for free, and I'm going to whack up the price after the first month by saying, right, so you're going to lie. I said, so you're going to lie to them then, are you? So you're going to bring them in. You're going to bring them in for free. I said, even if I was getting the best service in the world, I said, if you gave it me for free, and then you told me that a month later you're going to charge me, even if it was a small amount, I would be so offended that you'd got me in under false pretenses. I'll drop out. I don't care what it is. And I said to him, I said, I'm not saying everybody's like me, but you want to start. I said, if you're going to do it for free and you're going to put the price up, you at least need to tell them that it's a, you know, it's a 1 month offer for free, a try before, whatever it is. I said, but people are always obsessed with trying to, oh, if I get it really cheap. And what I found personally is the less I charge, the worse customers I get.
Yes, exactly.
The more I charge, the less they're asking for, like, can you do this and can you train that? Whereas when I ever charge a lower price, the amount of hassle you get from those customers is horrible. I've left that a long time ago, trying to get in on a cheap deal.
Yeah, the other point that you're making there, though, that I think is imperative that people don't realise, like when we get told about marketing, and it's the same in sales or anything else as well, you know, marketing is to attract the people you want, but it's to repel the people you don't want.
100%.
And that repel part doesn't get used often enough. And like when you're doing your sales process, qualifying your leads is so important, because if you don't qualify them, you end up with those clients that you don't want. So like, and the thing is, I think this happens in a lot of businesses, you know, you start and you're just like, I just want revenue coming in. So you take anybody that's got a pulse and a wallet. And very quickly you realize, oh my goodness, like for me, right, don't get me wrong, I like financial advisors, but I don't have them as clients. The reason is they are so bound up with rules that it restricts you right down on what you can actually do to deliver to help them. So for me, I don't take on any financial advisors. And that's because I've had a few and it's been a nightmare. And it's not anything to do with them. It's just their industry isn't a good fit for me. And that's the thing that I think where people get stuck. They don't take the time to think about what that niche is. Or, you know, there's two things that happen. They either get stuck in a hole of, I don't know if I've got the right niche, and then they're too get into analysis paralysis and too scared to make a move. But what I would say with the niching thing is pick one, and as you go, it'll refine, you know.
Yes.
And like, so for example, I was speaking to another coach yesterday and she was speaking about, oh, I don't know if I'm going to do coaching alongside with what she was doing. And I said to her, with your coaching practice, what you'll find is once you've had a big throughput of clients, you know who are your good people. You know the ones that you can add value to. You know the ones that you absolutely love working with. And when you look at those people, there'll be attributes that they have, and that's the bones of your niche, you know. So like what I say with people when they're doing their niche, look back at who you've had or what you've dealt with first, and that helps you to go forward in a productive way, because you'll already know who's right for you. It's just you haven't thought about it enough.
I think that's those first two steps, isn't it? Because once you know what you're good at and what you're amazing at, therefore you then know very clearly where you can add value, then you take your niche. And as you said, it's a work in progress. You don't pick what you're great at and then you pick your niche and you think, right, that's it now for the next 20 years, because what you're good at can improve in different areas and the niche we find. And I think, you know, one of the things that people always miss out on, my background is sales, coincidentally, that it's that qualification. People are terrified, and I'm almost relentless about qualifying out people, because I just haven't got the time. I only want to work. And whether that's me as a business owner or me working for somebody else, and you try to see, well, where do I want to get my business from? That's always my first step, is like, well, I need to qualify and make sure that the place that I'm going or the people I'm speaking to are the people I want to. And have you eloquently said it? Because if you enjoy what you do and you enjoy who you're working with, which then, you know, it's circular, isn't it? You can't enjoy what you do if you don't enjoy who you're working with. When you enjoy who you're working with and they're your tribe, your kind of people, you excel, they enjoy it. And there's, just as you were saying, like the outset, in terms of, you know, people having those eureka moments and really coming alive, that is, I would argue, and I've not seen you in action, but I would argue that that would be certain parts of the process, but a lot of it will be you and the fact that they resonate with you and the way you're putting it across. And I think that's really, really important when you're in a business, is that qualification process and making sure that you're just not working with everybody. And you're right. At the beginning, you know, we've all done it. I've done it. Where you just think,
we've all done it. Every single one of us.
I don't care. He's got money or she's got money, and I need money, so I'm going to take it. I might not do a great job with them because I'm not really enjoying it, but I'm going to grip my teeth and I'm going to get through it to make sure that the money still keeps coming in. So yeah, I think that is probably, hopefully, a learning that people will listen to this, will, who are going through that at the moment, starting, oh yeah, maybe we need to start looking at different clients rather than
the thing that you're speaking about there is called the momentum cycle. So like, when you start to do something, you don't know whether it's going to be a success or not. So that first step is a huge risk because you don't know what the result of it's going to be. So, but what happens, and you see this with kids, actually, this is why when we're old, we don't get scared about stuff. We're like, okay, you know, I've done worse than this before. It's ended up okay. I'll give it a blast. Right. But kids don't have that knowledge and experience to know that when they put in effort, they actually get a result from it, because they're young, and we've had that repeatedly happen to us as adults. So we know that if we put in effort, things are okay. But what happens is, you put in effort, it's a risk, then you get a result. Then that encourages you to put in more effort, which means you get a bigger result, and then you put in more effort, you get a bigger result, and that's you're spiraling up the way to success. But when people don't know about that, and they especially at the beginning, they're so overwhelmed, they don't know what to do, they don't know what step to take, and they don't know if it's going to work, they don't realise that they're actually at the beginning of that momentum cycle. And that momentum cycle that we're talking about here is, you have to try stuff and realise that they suck before you're actually doing the qualification, not with clients, but with stuff for yourself about what you like and what you enjoy and what's good and what's not good. And you have to try a load of these things to work out that, you know, what you're good at. But also, you need to have the self-awareness to go, Athol Forbes, you're rubbish at accounts, and every year you never do them and leave it until the last minute. Like, you have to get really honest with yourself, right? And I had to get honest with myself about my accounts and get somebody else to do it, because I'm rubbish at it. I hate it. It sucked all the joy out of my life. And it was much better to give that to somebody who was actually good at doing it than me keep hold of it when I was adding no value.
And that's probably one of the hardest lessons I think business owners have to learn for themselves, is because at first you think, oh, I'm going to do everything, because firstly, I haven't got loads of money. Secondly, I think I'm quite good at it. And then you start realizing, I'm not very good at that, but I don't want to pay someone to do that. And I always say to people, well, okay, so what's your hourly rate then? So if your hourly rate is whatever X pounds an hour, is that really worth it? Because your hourly rate is probably higher than what you're going to pay an accountant. Your hourly rate is probably higher than what you're going to pay a VA. So wouldn't you'd rather be using that hourly rate for the things that we said at the outset that you're amazing at, rather than the things that you're absolutely rubbish at? And actually get people who are amazing at admin, get people who are amazing at accounting. Then you've got a real solid business, rather than, well, I'm going to do everything myself, which is, you know, everyone does it. Everyone tries it and then realises, oops, no, this is not going to work. I'm spending too much time accounting, or even social media. I mean, I love it, but I love videoing. But I know there's loads of people who hate it. And I'm like, well, why are you doing it then?
Or The other one with videoing that just drives me absolutely bananas is some people are not good on the camera. Like, there's no amount of training or stuff you can watch or equipment that you can buy or pay somebody to video you. Like, if you're no good on the camera, like, I would. And when we all start, let's be honest, I know when I start, when I look back at those first videos, they're awful. Like, I'm reading and they're awful, right? But I have recorded millions of videos, like, and I know that I'm pretty good in video because I'm myself. I've got over myself. I know what I sound like. I know what I look like. I do funny hand gestures. I do weird facials. I've got a funny Scottish accent. But the thing is, about all of those things, they're me. So if you met me in person or see me on video, it's exactly the same. So I think the reason that my videos work okay is because I'm authentically me, because I've got over myself, basically. But I've had people come and say to me, oh, I'm going to do video courses. And I'm sitting there going, do you know how to video? No. Have you got the equipment to do it? No, but I'm going to pay this video. And they've got this videographer lined up to pay like all this money to them. And I'm sitting there going, why are you doing that? Why are you picking up a skill that you don't need when you've already got the skill that you need to do the thing that you need to do? Why don't you just focus in on that instead of picking up something else that you don't know if you're going to be any good at? Like, it's just an unproductive waste of your time. Like, I remember what, this is the thing that drove me mad when I was performance coaching. Like, it was just common sense. So I would go in, yeah, and they would be doing like 50 actions and none of them would be getting completed, and they would have a meeting the size of the gods, you know, that took hours. And I would come in and go, why are you doing 30 actions? Why don't you just do the top five? And why do we have all these people in here? Just have the people that are on those top five actions. You know, by that, I took a meeting from an hour and a half down to 45 minutes within a month. And within 3 months, we did a 30% lift in the ROPS efficiency figure. Just by, like, common sense of putting effort where it needed to go instead of scattergunning it everywhere and making no progress.
I don't know if you've ever, have you ever heard the, it's a book called Will It Make the Boat Go Faster? It's like Olympic, it's the Olympic rowing team from, yeah, I can't remember, 1990 or whatever. And I've used that for years, actually, in terms of when I'm speaking to teams or individuals, because they just talk very eloquently about, well, will it make the boat go faster? Will going down to the pub on a Saturday night make the boat go faster? No, it won't. So we didn't do it. Will getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go to the gym and hitting the water make the boat go faster? Yes, it does.
Yes.
So even though I didn't want to do it, we did it. And I put that in any business I go into it and I say, right, so you've got your core pillars, you've got your key, you know, you've got your vision, you've got your key actions, and you've got your rocks that you want to work, yeah, on. Right. So I don't want you to talk to me about anything unless it's going to make the boat go faster. Because, and that's exactly what you're saying about the performance, is, yeah, let's have the 30 actions. Well, actually, 25 of those are actually probably going to make the boat go slower, never mind go faster. And it's only those five that are going to move the boat. So forget about those 25 actions. Yes, I know you like it. I know it looks good on a slide. I know it makes you feel good, but it's irrelevant. Don't do it. Yeah. Whatever you do, don't do it. I think that laser focus, actually, it actually delivers the results as you've just identified, but it, yeah, also makes you enjoy your life more because you just have more time to do the things, yeah, that make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
So in terms of, because right at the beginning, you said that, you know, when you're doing a business plan, you give them, they walk away with a 5-year plan. And this is one of the key challenges of business plans, which I know you've overcome, and I certainly have, is that business plan is normally done, it's for 5 years, it goes in the drawer, and then your manager comes at the end of the next year and says, right, let's review your business plan. Let's review your business plan. And, you know, a week before you're meeting him, you're panicking, thinking, oh, right, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. So in your planning methodology, how do you, yeah, make sure that doesn't just sit in the drawer and it's actually, it's a live document that you're using to manage and measure?
What I do is I've got an action plan page. So what you do is, once you've got your 5 years worth of goals, you take action. I only say about 4 goals. You take those four goals and you put them onto your action plan. And then what you do is you break it down. That goal, what needs to happen to make that goal happen? So yeah. If it's a revenue one, for example, how many sales do I need to have done to get to that revenue figure? How many sales do I need in quarter one? And then for quarter one, how many do I need in January? How many do I need in February? How many do I need in March? Right, okay, what's the next thing? And it's just like breaking that bigger goal down into the manageable steps that needs to happen, and then putting them in quarters, and then putting a start date and an end date, and then you've got percentage complete, and at the end I've got not started, which automatically goes to red because you don't want heaps of reds on there. I've got in progress, which is yellow, which usually has a, I ask them to put in a percentage complete for the in progresses, because if you've got in progresses and they're all sitting about 80%, you're probably going to be on track to get that finished within the period that you've set for yourself. But if you've got in progress and all of them are 10%, it's the end of the month and it needs to be completed by the end of the month, you can't manage that. And then the greens are completed. So I switch the filter for completed off, because once they're done, you don't need to go back into that. They're done. So I put the filters on for the beginning of each month. So you're looking at what have I got that's red and what have I got that's yellow, and looking to make sure that those reds and yellows are gone by the end of the month. And the thing is, with the filtering system, you just switch on what you need. So like, you switch on for the week if you want to work it by week. You can switch on by the day if you want to work it by day. You can switch it on by the quarter if you want to work it by quarter. So I think the action planning part of it is much better, because then you're actually doing the actions that are on the business plan. So this is keeping you on track. And what I find, a lot of business owners set goals and stuff, they go away and do heaps of other stuff, but they don't actually do the stuff that they committed to do in the goals. So then that, what a waste of time even setting your goals up in the first place. And it means then you get to the end of the year and you're like, what have I achieved this year? Because you've let yourself go totally off track from what you planned. So that is why I do it that way, is to help people actually manage what they're doing properly.
I think that's one of the biggest issues I've found when you're doing business planning, and I love business planning actually, but that it's actually having a tool that links it all together. Because normally, you might do it on a Word document, or you do it on a PowerPoint, and then you're then tracking your actions somewhere else in an Excel spreadsheet or somewhere. So it's not all linked up, whereas obviously yours. So if yours are not, is it an online platform?
Well, I just do. Remember, I'm basic, so it's simple. It is an Excel spreadsheet. It's a really simple Excel spreadsheet, because if we get into all these tools and stuff, then people don't know how to use them. Then they don't use them because they don't know how to. Right. So when you have it as a simple Excel spreadsheet, everyone pretty much knows how to use a spreadsheet. There's not very many people that don't know how to use a spreadsheet. If you don't know how to use a spreadsheet, how are you managing to be in business? Because it's really basic stuff. So most people know how to use a spreadsheet, and most people know how to switch a filter on and off. Simple. All you're doing is just tracking what you're doing in the spreadsheet. That's it. And so I have a basic template that comes with the video. If they just buy the video, they get the template. And then if we do it together, if I do it with them, I get them to have the basics of that spreadsheet filled out, and then we just complete it together. So by the end of the coaching session, they have their plan to go away and work. And I do check in with people randomly to see how they're doing with it, because I put it on Google Docs, so I have access to it, so I can nip in and have a look and see how they're doing. So sometimes I do that with people that I'm working with. I'll just pop in and have a look to see how they're getting on with what they plan to do. So yeah, that's how it works.
By the time you're watching this, then the Business Basics Master will be available for you to go and buy, and I highly recommend it. And I think that anyone who's listened to this or watched this will realize the benefit you'll get from obviously going through the process. But I would suggest And no one's asked me to do this, but I would suggest that, that if you can, that you step up and actually you then pay Athol to actually do the coaching rather than just getting the videos, because you're going to get a significant amount more by doing it that way. Most top level people in any sphere, whether that's sport, business, will have some kind of coach. And there's a reason why they have a coach. It's not because they don't know what they're doing. It's because having a second pair of eyes giving you advice is always beneficial in whatever sphere you're in.
And also it's the accountability factor, right? So if you buy the video from me and you go away, I'm weird. I do actually buy videos and go away and do the stuff that is in the video. But that's because, I think it's because I'm dyslexic, that I know that I take a little bit longer to process and I have to do whatever it is before it'll actually stick in my head. But I know that most people don't do that. They buy the videos and they don't do anything with them. But that's why I give people the option. You can just go and self-serve and do it yourself. But the accountability piece is, one, I'll come in and I will do it with you. But two, you're not getting to book into the coaching session unless you've done the homework that came out of the video, because that means that we're starting too far back and you're not going to get any value out of it. So it's pushing the person to be accountable and actually do some of the work that is required, not for me, for them.
And I think that accountability is critical, especially for business owners, because lots of business owners are working on their own. So actually having that accountability that pushes you and make sure that you're doing it. And I think lots of business owners just assume, oh, well, I'm really motivated, otherwise I wouldn't be a business owner. Yeah, you are, but that doesn't mean you're not human. And all humans, I think, from my experience, need accountability to actually, whether that's internal accountability, which is easy for you to sort of like keep moving, or external accountability, which I think is significantly better. And as you said, you know, when you know you've got a coaching session and you have to complete this by the coaching session, then you're going to get it done. Whereas otherwise, it starts sliding, doesn't it? Oh, well, I know I said I'd do bad next week.
It does,
but actually, I've been really busy. You give yourself excuses. You know, I'll push that out for another couple of weeks before I get it done. So I think that's accountability. If you take nothing away from here, you know, having accountability for what you're doing. And I think that's what Athol's program does, actually. It's actually making you accountable at each of those steps to do something.
Yeah, and that accountability is like so important. That I do take on coaching clients on a 6-monthly basis, but I keep that very small, because and the way that I qualify them, as we've spoken about, qualifying be such an important part of it. For me, the qualification is, did they do the videos? Have we done one, you know, singular, and did they do the work? And if they have had coaching, singular coaching sessions with me and not completed what they committed on, that I won't take them on as a 6-month client, because that's then lose-lose for everybody then.
Yeah.
I put in loads of effort, they don't do the work, they don't get the result, they're not going to refer for me or speak highly of me. So like, that's why I try not to take on longer clients. And plus the fact, with the work that I've done on myself, my wheelhouse is this. This is the stuff that I love doing, I enjoy doing, and I bring value to. And that's what I want to be doing in my business. So that's why I don't offer that unless it's somebody really special. And that's, you know, it's built that way because that suits me. And that's what I want for everybody else as well. I want them to build their businesses in a way that suits them, you know, and it's not just you have to do it. Nobody has to do anything. You know, like what we need to do for us to be healthy, happy and well is to build our lives around what we do with our work.
And I think that's a perfect place on which to finish. Athol, folks, it's been an absolute pleasure. You know, I'm hoping that we'll be able to bring you back on once you've actually launched the Business Basics Mastery, and then you can talk us through how people have now been through the 7 simple steps to supercharge your business, and you'll be able to give us some case studies and wax lyrical about how effective it's been, because I know it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. I would be more than happy to do that. We're just wanting some folk on Dragon's Den that have been through my programme, eh?
Exactly. That'd be great. So, an episode about another topic that I really enjoy that other people maybe don't as much, and that's business planning. Well, hopefully there's been some great advice by Athol on this podcast, which you know, really helps you understand that the key thing that you need to do when business planning is simplify the planning process, and focusing on key elements like vision, mission, values, and goals can make business planning much more practical and actionable. And as we said, we've dropped some links in the episode description. So now you can go and pick up the Business Basics Mastery with Athol. And if you want to pick up the show notes, head over to thesalesaccelerationformula.com/podcast-show-notes, and you'll be able to subscribe to our mailing list and get show notes for every single episode. And as always, subscribe, like, and share with your friends, colleagues, and anyone else who you think may be interested. But most of all, keep the feedback coming so that we can continue to improve and give you more of what you like. Hope you enjoyed this as much as I did, and as I always do, keep listening and keep growing.